Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden, and with me, as always, he's the Max Verstappen to my Lewis Hamilton. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Well, I'm definitely the Dutch guy. So
yeah, I mean, that seems obvious. I just thought I'd bring it up because the show is back on Netflix, the new season.
Oh, yes.
I watched the first episode today.
I've yet to see the new season.
I've only seen the first one. But
and banger.
Absolutely. They're all
bad. This is from the last season that just passed.
Yes, which ended with the crazy controversial. With the
crazy ending. Yes. Okay, so I do have to watch it.
I know. I'm kind of hyped for it. That's why. So
I'm surprised you didn't binge it. What are you doing?
I know. I know. Busy well, man? I had to record a podcast with some idiot. So.
Wow. I mean, that shouldn't stop you from binging.
I have it on the other screen here. But anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Subtitles, my man. Read lips. Anyway. Max Verstappen has big lips. I've got big lips.
Is it a Dutch thing?
It is a Dutch thing. You should see Yellen's lips. Big
lips. Let's not wade into that too far. Moving on. Let's get to, I thought I was going to say some good news, but let's talk about the Leafs instead.
I mean, sure.
So since we last did a podcast, the Leafs finished off that game with Seattle that we were recording during. They won. Matthew scored a hat trick.
That was sick.
It was pretty awesome. Unfortunately, it came out after the game that Jack Campbell was injured with a broken rib or something.
It was
something
broken
with his rib. I don't know, something with his rib.
I saw a rib injury. You're right. It could be broken. It could be anything.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, that meant that Peter Mrazek had to play the next two games, and oh boy. I think when we did this podcast last week, I had said that Peter Mrazek had been bad, but Jack Campbell had been worse. And Peter Mrazek apparently took that as a challenge.
Yeah.
And had, I mean, just an unbelievably bad game against Arizona. And then a less bad, but still pretty bad game against Buffalo.
Well, I mean, we'll get to the Arizona game, but like the Buffalo game, I thought he was good in the first period and a bit.
He let in one really bad goal.
No, you're right. Okay, sure.
Right? He let in one terrible goal. And other than that, he was okay.
Right. But leading up to that, like that first period, I was like,
good.
The Dallin breakaway. I was like, oh, I mean, like, I wasn't too worried.
He was good. The Arizona game, he was
terrible.
Holy shit. I mean, it was a little while ago now, but that was horrifically bad.
That was bad to the point where, like, because Keith came out and he's like, I wanted to pull him after, what, two?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, some of the, like, he wasn't in the net.
No.
For, three goals.
Yeah, I was going to do the Matthews stuff first, but let's talk about the goal. Let's just finish up talking
well,
about
I mean, goaltending. Cause
let's
Campbell
just go,
stuff,
let's just run through it.
Right, like, the Campbell stuff is fresh, because that injury happened, and once you knew he was going to be out, you're like, fuck.
So they said 2 weeks, which would say the earliest game he could be back for is March 26th against Montreal. But that's if it goes well. And
that's
given he was playing injured, and while he was playing injured, he was playing really, really, really badly. I would rather he get completely not injured before he comes back, especially since last year we saw this with Freddie Anderson and it went terribly.
Just going to say, like, this is the exact same scenario where, and Campbell ended up taking the net and we were cool with it.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mrazek is able to take the net.
And the fact that Freddie Anderson this year, now healthy, has been absolutely lights out in Carolina says, like, hey, you really should have just not played it while he was injured. And
just
now,
give him the chance.
And now with Jack Campbell, they literally did the exact same thing all over again. So
I don't see how, if you're Dubas, you don't try to get a goalie to just stop the bleeding.
Well, I think the problem is, and we talked about it last week, it's really hard for them to get a goalie.
Something. Anything.
Get Anton Forsberg?
I don't care. I really don't
Craig
care.
Craig Anderson.
Dude, he robbed Matthews.
He did.
I think it was the first or second, like the end of the first, the rob on Matthews. I was like, holy shit, you're 40, like five.
I did find myself thinking during the Arizona game, I was like, they can just call up Hutchinson, right? Like, he can't be worse than this.
Yeah, wow. That's debatable. Like you said, he might, like Hutchinson might take it as a challenge and go watch me.
Yeah, well, there is a solid chance of that. But I mean, Peter Mrazek, if we want to go through what happened in the Arizona game, I mean, the first goal is the worst goal that any Leafs goalie has let in this year. And that is seriously saying something, because he blockered the puck backwards over his own head directly in front of the net, which he had at the same time slid out of the way of attempting to make the save.
That Nedeljkovic goal I sent you is probably the worst goal.
Well, that's actually what I was going to say. I said that was the worst goal a Leafs goaltender let in this year. Somehow it wasn't the worst goal that a goalie let in that night, because Alex Nedeljkovic decided to score.
And I know we're jumping around. I know we're jumping around, but I've never seen anything like that. Like, because that was legit. It was going way wide.
Yeah.
And he batted it between his own legs. It looked like he bet on the game and he was trying to.
That's what I was going to say. So remember when we talked about that goalie from Haiti who led in that goal against Canada, the soccer goalie?
Yeah.
And you were like, that guy had money on the game. This is the hockey version of that. It has to be. Because, like, there's just. That was so terrible. I don't even understand why he would do that.
And it wasn't like it was literally like he hit it back. Like he didn't try to flick it forward. He hit it backwards.
Back. Yeah. And Peter Mrazek, I mean, like Peter Mrazek tried to make a save. He just did a terrible job of it.
Yeah.
Alex Nedeljkovic, that puck wasn't going in.
No.
It was going to miss the net. So, like, what? What was he doing?
That, in my head, and obviously I didn't watch the whole play because I didn't watch the game, but I go, was that not icing?
It looked like icing.
Right? Like, I could be wrong. Obviously, there's so many scenarios where it touched another player's stick, and it probably wasn't icing. But in my head, I'm like, just let it go into the corner.
But whether it's icing or not, I mean, it was going, like, 3 to 4 feet wide of the net. So...
In was never an option.
In was never an option. No.
So how it ended up in, I don't get.
I don't know. Peter Mrazek, I mean, that first goal was absolutely horrible. Blockering it in front of the own net. Second one was only kind of his fault, but also completely his fault.
Sure.
Because they came in on a 2-on-1 and they got the cross crease pass away, and it would have been a really, really difficult save for a goalie to make, except whoever the Phoenix guy was, and I can't remember who it is, completely fanned on the puck and it slid across the ice at about 0.0 miles per hour. And it turned out it would have been a very, very easy save to make, except Peter Mrazek fell over and then dropped his stick and the puck rolled into the net.
When I saw the stick drop, I go, this might save it.
Yeah, but if he had held on to his stick, he would have easily saved it, unless he had Alex Nedeljkovic did into the net, which, given the way he was playing, was a legitimate possibility.
Could have happened. But also, I mean, I know this is asking a lot, but with a puck rolling that slow, I go, can't any of the D get their stick in? Like, because there were two Leafs.
No, but Riley was laying down.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have got over there, right?
That's fair. But, like, I don't know. You're right. The fan on it was bad, and obviously Mrazek was way out of
the fan on it was the only reason it was savable, really, because if that guy had actually connected clean on the one-timer, there would have been no possible way Mrazek could have saved it.
No.
We would not be blaming him for it whatsoever.
I was going to say, then the blame would have definitely been like, oh, how do you get a 2-on-1 like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But no, this was the guy fanned on it. If you had stayed standing and shifted over to the other side instead of diving.
And so, like, he fell.
No, I know. It looked like he looked like he tripped.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, I'm sorry.
Which that's is worse.
Not a good, no, it's not worse. A good look. It's not a good look.
It's worse. If he dove, he would have saved it.
Right. Like the fact that he stumbled over to the other side like a drunk dude. Like, it's not a good look.
And not even the good kind of drunk goalie, like Curtis McElhinney.
No, yeah. We liked
the bad kind of drunk.
Actually, we didn't like him. We kind of liked him.
I liked him. Yeah. He was fun. For a backup,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mrazek's supposed to be a backup.
Well, I mean, goddamn. Is he, though? Mrazek's supposed to be good. And I can't believe how bad he was. And then the Buffalo game. I mean, just to finish off on Peter Mrazek, he played pretty well, which I think we said he played all right. And then he let in a goal from, like, the boards on the goal line.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't actually blame him for the one that TJ Brody scored.
No, no.
That would have been pretty hard to save.
And the problem with like one of these outdoor games is the ice is always super choppy.
Yeah, which
so like,
I exactly on that right. one. I mean, you can't blame either of those guys really. That's just something that happens.
Like yeah, you see it all the time. I mean, you know, it's the only hockey I ever really play is outdoor rink. So the puck just takes weird bounces. Like you can't control that.
Yeah,
but I mean, you're right. That first goal.
Yeah. It's the Hinostroza one. I can't remember who scored it, but the goal that was from like the fucking boards on the goal line that went like through him. Like you have to save that. And that was that right skate thing I was talking about. I told you his foot is all weird.
You did mention that. I've yeah. Look, I mean, I gotta get a microscope out and really feel it.
So, I mean, he kind of cost them two games in spite of...
Well, that's kind of the bitch of it, is if you look at it and go, if we actually had Campbell playing his best in there...
If Campbell was playing his best, we would have won all the games this week. Yeah, pretty easily. If we had just a goalie playing average, actually, we probably would have won all
the games. Well, that's... Yes, and that's the other thing. Is you see a lot of people tweeting out that, like, if they just had league average goaltending for the last, you know, 3 months or month and a half, like 2 months, whatever it is, we would be fine, but we don't. Which is kind of like, right now, unless we trade someone, we can't do anything about it.
We don't. Now, they have a game tomorrow, and
Who are they playing again? Dallas. They're playing Dallas.
The Robertson I would like brothers. To see Eric Källgren get the start.
I don't see why not.
Because he came in versus Arizona, and he was pretty good.
Didn't hate it.
He was pretty good. He didn't do anything crazy. He made one, like, kind of hard save, and then the other pretty good chance that Arizona had, they scored. But he made, like, 9 easy saves, and that's literally all I want.
Yep. No, it's I think he deserves to get a look.
I thought he deserved to play on Sunday, but I think they didn't want to start him in an outdoor game for his first ever NHL game, which is pretty reasonable.
That seemed like a little too much, because obviously then if you blow it, the attention on you is so much more.
Yeah, you could really ruin a young guy playing his first game doing it like that.
No, they had to put Mrazek in, but
give him
Dallas. Give him a Monday night or a Tuesday night game.
Yeah, exactly. Tuesday night in Dallas. If he plays bad, whatever.
Nobody's really going to look back at that and go, we would have been better off with Mrazek in that.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, you're probably going to get bad goaltending either way, so you might as well let the kid...
Let the kid give a shot and see if he can make something happen.
Yeah, so Eric Källgren, just because I know you, like me, probably saw him come in and went, what? What's happening?
I thought... Hang on a tick. No,
he's a 25-year-old Swedish goalie from Vaxjo HC, who has been playing on the Marlies and who started the season super hot and then kind of faded and has like a 904 in the minors, which is not ideal.
Not great for the minors.
But, you know, I thought he looked pretty good in his only NHL game, so maybe we give the guy a chance. He's the one thing that they have said about him. What's that? He's 25.
Okay.
The one thing that they have said about him is a positive that I read a piece a little bit on The Athletic, and this goalie guy was like, the one thing I love about him for the Marlies and his time at the Leafs there, he's apparently very, very calm. It's very mellow. He doesn't like get excited.
It's what we liked about Freddie.
Yes. And it's what I don't like about Peter Mrazek.
Or Campbell, because Campbell gets a little
too.
Yeah,
he's very chill, and you could kind of see it in the way that he was playing in that game. And I think another part of the one thing that I noticed about him is when he came out, I thought, man, this guy's gigantic, and he's not. He's only like 6'3".
You thought he was big?
I thought he was huge because of the way that he plays.
Mm-hmm.
He just plays very like in his net.
Stands up
and
straight.
And just makes himself big and gets a position.
Even on that save that he made when it was
when he on the cross crease.
Yes, the cross crease. where it didn't, like, he wasn't diving across. He just kind of stood up and he just kind of put his pad down.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Like, you just look like you're a tall, sturdy man.
The master of that style of goaltending, obviously, is Carey Price.
Pecorino was good at that, too.
Pecorino was good at that, too. But Carey Price is the best, because Carey Price, when he is at his absolute best, never looks like he's making crazy saves.
No.
He just makes... He makes impossible goaltending look easy because he's just in the right spot and the puck's hit him.
If that was Mrazek, he would have dived 6 feet through the net. Yeah, it would have been a whole thing. No, I agree.
Slid out of the net.
But again, my problem, like, because we've had this before with like Garrett Sparks, where he went on a run.
Yeah.
Like
Joseph Woll earlier this season.
Joseph Woll, like, you give these guys a shot. And I saw a stat, like, this is the first time, the fifth goalie they've played.
Yeah, it's the time ever, or first time since the 80s that they
played. Yeah, like the 80s or the 70s, something like that. And you're like, oh boy, it's not a good look. But I mean, maybe this is I honestly hope they get a sixth.
Yeah. Well, I hope that they don't, because I hope this kid turns out to be good somehow. That would be ideal.
Yeah.
And look, maybe he'll get lit up tomorrow and it'll, you know, but. We'll be fine with that, I think, if he gets lit up tomorrow. What I won't be fine with is if Peter Mrazek, who's supposed to be an NHLer, gets lit up again.
My hope is, like, if he gets lit up, I'm fine with it. But in an ideal situation, this kid carries us for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I know Mrazek won't.
In an ideal situation, he'll come in and not suck. And that honestly, that would be perfect.
He's our trade deadline acquisition.
Well, so I was going to say... While we were talking about trade deadline acquisitions, I keep hearing about Marc-Andre Fleury because he's famous.
He's probably available. My boss brought him up today or the other day. He goes, I hear Fleury's on the market. I go, shut up.
So Marc-Andre Fleury, they have said, will cost a first round pick or a first round level player, which I guess would be Nick Robertson, probably.
Nick Robertson, Knives, something.
Exactly. Marc-Andre Fleury. So I sorted all the goalies in the NHL by save percentage over expected. And I made sure it was only goalies who had 25 starts, because I thought that was, you know, like only starters, right? And that left 34 goalies in the NHL. What place do you think Marc-Andre Fleury is out of those 34 goalies?
Ooh, I like this. Okay. Well, Chicago's been pretty shit.
I'll give you Jack Campbell is 21st.
Oh, I'm going to guess he's like 20. I'm going to guess he's like 25.
He is 33 out of 34.
Sorry, in my head, I just think of teams, and I was like, out of 32, he's 33. How's that possible? 33 out of 34. Yeah, okay. So
the only goalie in the entire NHL that he has been better than is Philip Grubauer.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why Seattle's trash. But, I mean, the fact that Marc-Andre Fleury has been that bad and will cost a first-round pick. I mean, we talked about it last week, but if you're going to take a gamble that big, gamble on your own guy for free. Gamble on Campbell, I believe, was your pun.
Yes. Thank you. No, that does sound like you shouldn't place a bet on someone like Fleury right now. It doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah. He also has a full no trade clause that he would have to waive, which means he might not even want to come here.
I saw that too. People are going, "Oh, he'll come here, no problem." And I'm like, "Will he though?"
I'm not sure he will.
Has he seen how the team has been playing? And sure, if you're the goalie, you're like, "I could fix that." But I'm sorry, if you're him, you might go, "I don't know if I can fix that."
Also, like, if you're Marc-Andre Fleury and you have your cups and you have your stuff and whatever, are you really like, "I want to go to Toronto and get yelled at by psychos for like"?
You want to have a bunch of people with podcasts yelling about you for a while? Like, no.
Exactly. And we have been, you know, known to do that from time to time.
Once in a while.
We occasionally complain about goaltending.
Just a few times. Not much lately, though.
Certainly not much lately. So I really don't think. I don't think you can get Marc-Andre Fleury. I think what you have to do is get a lower, well, I mean, unless he's super cheap or something, unless this price ask is wrong. If they're like, hey, if Marc-Andre Fleury is like a fucking third or something, and they take back Peter Mrazek, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, no, if there's a low risk, no.
Yeah.
But I don't think, because Chicago got lucky with how they got him.
Yeah.
I don't think they're dumb to like, I don't think they're that dumb and they're just going to give him up for nothing.
I think they're only going to trade him for a first, or they won't do it at all. And I don't think the Leafs are, I think trading a first for him would be a little bit nuts.
Yeah, they're not in a spot to do that.
Now, in terms of saying just get a goalie, I mean, we talked about Anton Forsberg last week. There's Craig Anderson, who had completely slipped my mind, who I forgot was in the NHL, but who played really well against the Leafs on the weekend, and who was weirdly pretty good in the playoffs for Washington last year.
Yep.
Remember when both their goalies got injured and they had to play Craig Anderson? Yep. I mean, he wasn't awesome, but he was fine.
Well,
so,
yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't mind it. I also like him. Seems like a cool guy.
Seems like a cool guy, great wife.
Yeah, that's right. Cancer survivor.
Inappropriate reaction.
It's an accomplishment.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess unless you have any other thoughts on goaltending, we should talk about some of the other terrible things that are happening.
No, I mean, yeah, I think the thing with bringing up an AHL guy and letting him try to take it over is he might be hot for a couple of games, but I don't see it being sustainable, or else this guy would have already been playing.
No, I think what the basic hope is that he can play maybe two games where he doesn't suck, and then Campbell comes back eventually. And hopefully he's...
No, but that's what I'm saying. Is like, hopefully he's able to hold the fort for until Campbell comes back. But here's the thing is Campbell might need more time than 2 weeks.
Well, and even more than that, Campbell was pretty bad before he got injured.
Right, but like...
So, like, I'm not sure he's going to come back and be good.
He might have already been hurt.
I think he was already hurt, but, we don't know how much of him being bad was the injury and how much of it was him just playing bad.
That's fair.
Like, it's easy to say it afterwards when, like, you see Freddie Anderson go to Carolina and look amazing. You can be like, oh, he wasn't actually bad. He was just injured. With Campbell, it depends on how he plays when he comes back. Then we can be like, oh, he was just, if he's amazing, we'll go, oh, he was just injured. Remember how good he was at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And if he comes back and sucks, we're going to go, oh, well, we're screwed.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we should talk about the other big story of the week, which is the reffing and the NHL. And
that Arizona game.
Yeah.
How is it, and because I read the stat afterwards, I go, how is it, because I didn't believe it, one penalty?
Oh, Austin Matthews?
No.
Oh, in the game.
In the game.
Yes, the only penalty, also they didn't call the penalty. The only penalty was Sheldon Keefe's challenge that they lost.
Is that, how does...
That was the only penalty. So they didn't actually call the penalty. Sheldon Keefe kind of called the penalty.
Right, yeah, like he caused it on himself.
Yeah, it's like shooting the puck over the glass. Like the ref didn't call that. That they have to call that.
That's just a penalty. Like I don't think I've really heard of a game in a while where there's literally been no penalties.
Also, like there was lots of stuff that they could have called. It's not like it was a clean
overtime.
Yeah,
the final play.
I mean, that's the big one, right? So and just to put this out here now, so it's not like a huge Leaf thing. This happened to Zach Hyman 2 days before it happened to Austin Matthews.
Oh, Ovechkin.
You saw that one, right? Yeah, where Ovechkin literally just hauled him down and they didn't call it, which was insane. Which was insane. And then we had the Arizona one, which it was a really bad call.
There were two refs literally watching the play.
Yeah.
You have what is it? Four less bodies on the ice?
Yeah.
Is it 3-on-3?
Yeah.
So how do you miss that?
It's insane. It's honestly, it's completely ridiculous. He put his hand on the stick and held his stick. It's not like it's like a soft hold.
No.
Like it's very, very obvious that he's holding onto his stick. Matthews is yelling about it as it's happening.
And yeah, because obviously that comes back and people go, you know, he should have kept going. He shouldn't have stopped. And you're like, I don't think he really stopped.
He didn't stop. He wouldn't have caught him.
I think he just kind of realized that, like, what was happening and go, all right, I might as well try. Like, the penalty happened. Somebody should call this at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the other thing, too, is the reason he pulled him back was to pull him back. He didn't do it for no reason. Like, Chikrin's not an idiot. He didn't do that for no reason. He did that because he's thinking, if I pull this guy back, he'll lose the puck, and I can get ahead of him, and I can get the puck.
Yeah.
And I'll be gone because I'm Jacob Chikrin, and I'm pretty fast. And if I'm, like, 2 feet in front of you because I just pulled you behind me, you're not going to catch me.
No.
It's not like it's not like, you know, this isn't Connor McDavid chasing Milan Lucic here. Like, Austin Matthews isn't catching Jacob Chikrin if he has a 3 foot head start and all the momentum.
No. And it was crazy because Matthews takes his mouth guard out and he's yelling at the ref. And then he puts it back in. He's like, oh, shit, I'll try. But like, you could see right away where he's like, if this goes in,
it's your fault.
Yeah.
John Tavares is yelling at the refs too, which I never see. You literally never see that.
No.
Matthews does sometimes because, you know, he's a young guy and whatever.
He's a hothead. He's a hothead.
But John Tavares literally never does.
Yeah. No, John
Tavares does. Seeing him do that, I was like, ooh. Oh boy.
Yeah.
They're serious here.
Yeah.
So we also had that same night, Gabriel Landeskog criticizing the refs for not calling penalties on Nazem Kadri.
Right. Yeah, I saw that too.
Which, when you put everything together, was a rough night for those guys.
The refs really just got a...
Zach Hyman, Austin Matthews, Gabriel Landeskog, all in one night. I guess the Hyman one was a little bit earlier, but still.
No, but yeah, it's not a great sequence.
No, it isn't. It was insane.
It's bad. Why is it so bad? Why is it so bad this year?
I don't know. I'm not sure it's so bad this year as much as, like, all this stuff just happened.
Just all happened at once. Yeah.
I think it's more or less kind of the same as it usually is. But that was just two really, really bad calls, like, two nights in a row.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I really remember us discussing the refs was when they played Winnipeg and shit got out of hand.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, like, how many times are we going to discuss this where the refs are really dictating what's going on?
I think it's only natural that you're going to have, like, 4 or 5 games out of 82 where you don't think the refs were very good.
That's fair.
I think that's just a thing that's going to happen.
That's a really good point, yeah.
I think people have a little bit of crazy expectations over the most part for what referees are going to do.
I know you're pro-ref because
I just don't think people realize how hard it is.
No. Shut it. You're a real black and white man over there.
It's just it's harder than people think it is. And the only thing that I'll say about it is it's fine to be mad when they fuck up, like they did in the Phoenix game and like they did in the Edmonton game. I think where people go a little bit overboard is when they're like, oh my god, they're ruining the league, this and that, the reffing's so bad. It's like, okay, well, there aren't better refs who are just unemployed.
That's a good point.
Right? Like, there aren't these guys who are better than the guys working in the NHL just sitting around. These are the best guys. Yeah. So if you think these guys suck, then what you actually think is that hockey's too hard to referee. And if you think hockey's too hard to referee, then maybe chill out a little bit with freaking out every time they fuck up. But on the other hand, when they do stuff that's completely unacceptably terrible, like Zach Hyman or Austin Matthews, you should be angry about it.
Now, I mean, this might be getting a little too personal, and we can cut this part out, but when you see this stuff, does it make you extra vigilant when you're reffing?
No, I don't care. They don't affect me. I don't ref in the NHL.
No, I know, but you're like, oh, I don't want to fuck up like that.
Yeah, I'd just say that, like, the only thing, and the players understand this, and the coaches understand this, is...
Do they, though? Because they're complaining a lot.
But they do, right? Because if you listen to what Gabriel Landeskog said, is he said, I've been in this league for, like, 10 years, and I've never criticized the refs once, and I thought they had a bad game tonight. And now I look like the idiot who got kicked out and whatever because I told them they had a bad game. But he's like, I think these are the best refs in the world. I've had these guys ref my games 4 years. He named whoever the guys were. He's like, I've had those guys ref my games 100 times. I think they're great. They fucked up today.
Well,
that's how the players see it. That's how the coaches see it. That's not how the fans see it. The fans see it as like, oh my God, they're fucking up over and over and over and whatever. But
they had an off night.
That's how it is, right? And I'm trying to think who the player was. God, I can't remember. But there's a basketball player who said something like the other day where he was like, they asked him about a call that like a bad call that went against him. And he was like, I mean, I'm not going to shit on the refs. I fuck up every night. And it's just not a big story the next day.
We're going to get Clay Jones on for that one. But yeah,
you get what I mean though, right? Like it.
No, that's fair.
These guys have off nights. They're not going to be great every night.
No, I don't hate that argument. That's a really
and it's fine one. With being mad when they shit the bed, because I mean that guy, I can't remember who he, like, I'm not gonna look up his name or whatever, but the guy who fucked up the Arizona call fucked up. That was terrible. He ruined a hockey game. But I mean, I don't know, that guy's probably done like 60 NHL games at least, and like, you know, it's not probably like he's fucking up all of them. Yeah, exactly. But
No, you're right. You're allowed to fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. And you could be mad about it. Like, we're mad at Peter Mrazek because he fucked up.
Now,
but, like, I'm not like, oh, Peter Mrazek sucks at hockey or whatever because he's been bad for, like, 2 weeks.
Because it is one of those things where it's in overtime.
Yeah.
And people want some accountability. And in his head, you're right, in his head he might be like, I fucked that up. But at this point, he can't do anything.
No, it's done. Dude, the second Jacob Chychrun takes his hand off Austin Matthews' stick and you haven't called it, it's too late.
Well,
yeah. Right? You can't, like, call it. You can't miss it and then they come down and score and then you're like, oh, that was actually a penalty back there.
I reffed soccer when I was, like, 14, and I did that all the time. I'd be, like, halfway through the game, I'd be, like, that first two-minute play, I fucked up. That should have been a penalty. My bad.
No, see, but that's the thing. All you can do in that moment.
No, it is hard, I will say.
All you can do in that moment, if you fucked up, and this is why the coaches and the players have a different view of it than the fans do, because this probably happens. All you can do is go over to the guy and be like, hey, man, I missed that one. Like, I fucked up. And generally, if you do that, they'll respect it and be the like, all right, man. Yeah.
That's
and so will coaches. Because they'll be like, okay, you know what? He's not being, like, a dick about it. People get mad when the ref thinks he's, like, perfect and doesn't fuck up or whatever. If you fuck up and you go tell the guy, like, hey, man, I missed that one, they'll be like, okay, all right, whatever. Don't miss it again. All right, no worries. And then you don't miss it again because you're, like, thinking about it.
Well, that's where it really comes in, is you hope, like, if they fuck up once that badly.
Yeah.
I guess it wouldn't be, if it becomes a repeat thing, then there's a real discussion to be had about having them not
ref. Absolutely. But also the NHL looks at that stuff and they review that stuff internally. They just don't publish that stuff publicly. But they'll be looking at that. They'll be watching this guy thinking, like, if this guy fucks up again, like that, doing the exact same thing, we got to have a conversation about what the fuck's going on here, right? If you do it once, it's a mistake. You do it a bunch of times, it's not.
A pattern.
Right? There you go.
I went to college.
You're a very smart man. But you see what I'm talking about, right? But as fans, we don't get interviews from the refs, and they're not talking to us, and we're not hearing what they're saying. So do you think... You can answer this honestly. Do you think fans would feel a little bit differently if that guy came out after the game and was like, hey, I fucked up. My bad.
Here's the thing is, I think there's a lot of rational people out there and they might go, yeah, that's fun. Like, sure, people make mistakes and it's nice to see a face be attached to that statement.
Yeah.
But I also think there's some psychos out there.
And I think that's true.
And they might flip and go, then change the game. Then we should have won that game or what, like whatever it is, and go completely the other way where you're got, well, okay, you're kind of missing the point of me apologizing.
I think that's true. I think when you look at it that way, you can also see why the players complain about this way less than the fans do too. Because the player is probably more likely to be like, all right, yeah, this shit happens. I've played a lot of hockey games. Like, I get it. You guys miss calls.
And here's the thing. If you're a player, because I've done it too. I've in soccer, you make a play and you're like, I can't believe I got away with that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, all the time.
How many times? You made a tackle and you go, I got away with that? No call. Yeah. Right. But then, right. But in your head, you go, okay, they missed it. Like, yeah. So it happens to exactly. You too.
It happens. Yep. It happens all the time. So, I mean, yeah. It's not like the Leafs have never benefited from a missed call before.
No, I agree. So,
although this one was, and I don't want this to get lost in the fact that, like, we are defending it a little bit.
No, we are. But, like,
I don't want it to get lost in the fact that it was an absolute, like, horseshit bad call. And so was the Zach Hyman one.
Yes, but I think you've articulated it very well about how there are times where it happens.
You just miss it.
And here's they're humans.
Yeah. They would like to get all the calls, but they won't.
They won't.
That's just it. There's nothing to do about it. Until we build robots to do it for them.
Yeah.
And eventually take over the world, like the Terminator and so on.
I'll be back.
This is what you get.
Yeah.
All right. Should we take a break and then really go in on the trade deadline?
Yes, let's do that.
All right, sweet. And we're back. And Josh Manson was traded to the Colorado Avalanche like 10 minutes before we started podcasting.
Which is just great timing for us.
It's terrific. I mean, you got to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Friedman, good looking out, buddy. Appreciate it.
No, Kevin Weeks beat it to him.
That's right. Kevin Weeks did beat him. Kevin Weeks owns Elliot Friedman, as I was reliably informed. I don't know if you know this,
but that's the tweet.
As I was reliably informed. So, Josh Manson at 50% retention to Colorado for Drew Helleson and a second round pick.
Which, I'll be honest, because Colorado is one of the teams where you go, where do they need to be improved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty and perfect.
I did not think defense was going to be their, like...
So, they announced recently that Samuel Girard will be out for a month with a knee injury.
Oh, and Bo Byram is out.
And Bo Byram is out with a concussion. So, now they have Josh Manson, and Girard will be back for the playoffs. Byram, they don't know. But if they manage to get both of them back, all of a sudden that defense looks pretty incredible.
Now, I will say... As a Leafs fan in the current state that we're in, I'm very jealous of a team like Colorado that just decides to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Also, like, this is a good trade for them. I mean, Josh Manson has not been as good as he used to be, but he used to be dope.
But now he's on a really bad team, though.
Well, I mean, they're a playoff team.
That's a good point. Never mind, yeah.
They're okay, but he's not as good as he used to be, but he's... I mean, he used to be awesome. He's going to be on Colorado in a lower role, and they got him for 50% retained for a guy who, I mean, Drew Helleson might be good. I don't know. He's playing college hockey, and he appears to be 7 years old from his picture.
We literally Googled him before we started.
And a second-round pick, which is not a first-round pick, because math.
And it's next year's.
Yes.
Not this year's.
Is it?
2023, I saw.
Okay, well, that's another team loading up 2023 picks, like we talked about, for the big draft.
The big boy draft.
But, yeah, I think this is a pretty good trade for them. I think they have a pretty incredible defense right now.
No, but that's what I'm saying is, like, now their defense is really top tier.
Yeah, and on the Anaheim side of it, this isn't too bad either. You got a pick and a prospect for a guy who I think is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So, yeah, that's always good. Okay.
And, I mean, he's probably either A, going to ask for a lot of money or walk.
Yeah, and I would say that the one mistake that they've made here is that a couple of years ago, Josh Manson was very, very good and highly regarded. And if they'd traded him a couple of years ago, I think they would have got a lot more. But as it stands now, and this is not a fully healthy defense, obviously, as we just discussed. Samuel Girard is out. Bowen Byram is out. If this defense is healthy, this defense is Cale Makar, Eric Johnson, Samuel Girard, Devon Taves, Josh Manson, and Bowen Byram with Ryan Murray as the seventh defenseman. That is That's insane.
And I don't know why, but part of me makes me think that they believe that their goaltending isn't good enough, maybe.
That is probably their weakest point, although I think Darcy Kemper is still pretty good.
But Darcy Kemper had a shutout the other night, and I watched the highlights of all the saves he made on Twitter. Like, the guy is still on fire. So
he has a 922.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
So Colorado's, I mean, it's them and Tampa, man.
I mean, Colorado is, yeah, I would say Colorado is the best team in the NHL, except we know for a fact that Tampa Bay does not try in the regular season.
No, and
which kind of skews it, right?
Right, but if you're Colorado, you've gotten close, not too close, but close-ish. Second round. So you realize you just need a couple extra bumps and you'll make it.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, if you're Colorado, you have every reason to think that you're the best team in the NHL and that you should try and win the Cup. And that's
they're going for. Like, it's 100%. But
they did. Yeah, they're going all in this year. I think they're thinking this year, Kadri is going to be a UFA. Andre Burakovsky is going to be a UFA. Valerie Nichushkin is going to be a UFA. They're going to lose Josh Manson, who they just got, and they're going to have to re-sign Darcy Kemper, who's currently only making $3.5 million. So I think they're thinking this might be the deepest we ever are.
Yep.
Let's go for it.
Just try and add and see.
And I mean, their big loss was Philip Grubauer, who has, I mean, as we said earlier, sucked.
And they found a replacement with Kemper.
Yeah. Who's been really good. So yep. I don't know. I wouldn't rule them out being better just because Joe Sakic is apparently as good at general managing as he was at playing hockey, which is incredibly annoying.
Just shocking.
Incredibly annoying. It's very Steve Yzerman of him, and it's driving me a little bit insane, but they are incredible. So
yeah,
that happened. So thank you for doing that before we recorded the podcast. I really appreciate it. News has just come out also, by the way, that Jacob Chychrun's injury will put him out for 2 to 4 weeks.
So he's not getting traded.
Well, I don't know. He might. If you were trading Jacob Chychrun, who is under contract for 2 more years after this year, you're trading for Jacob Chychrun for this year's playoffs and the next 2 seasons.
Fair, but if you're Arizona, you might be able to get more value from him down the road. And I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah, trade him in the offseason if right. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But when he got injured and they said he went for an MRI, I was thinking, okay, he's probably definitely not getting traded. Two to 4 weeks, they could totally still do it. So I'd say this makes it less likely he's going to get traded, but it doesn't ruin it completely either.
No, that's true. I think it's less like a lot less likely though.
The other big piece of news, Jesperi Kotkaniemi has extended for 8 years at $5 million.
So I saw I follow this Instagram page called NHL Discussions.
Yeah, okay.
And they always do this before a big signing.
Sounds very legitimate.
Oh, it's super legit. they always do this, they go, they'll put so they put Kotkaniemi's face in a Canes jersey, like he is obviously, and then they put extension ? Underneath in bold letters, and you're like, wait, so was there an extension or is there talk of an extension? So I didn't know they actually did it.
They have done it. So I don't think it's official, but it's like official. It's like basically official.
Okay, so maybe this is where it is. It's like, it's not, it's
one of it hasn't been, there. It hasn't officially happened, but a bunch of Carolina Hurricanes, like reporters and people have said that it's done and this is the contract.
Basically. So what is the contract?
The contract is 8 years at $4.75 million.
And what was he, what did they sign his offer sheet to?
His offer sheet was 1 year at 6.1. So it's less.
Yeah, it's
but
less.
Also it's 8 years.
Wow, so they like him a lot. There was talk of him maybe just moving on or being traded for who knows.
So it's a weird one, right? So he's 21 years old. He's a former third overall pick, and they seem to like him given the fact that they've spent a whole lot of money on him. On the other hand, he's in his fourth year in the NHL, and he has yet to score half a point per game. He's yet to be on a 40-point pace for a single season of his career yet.
It's weird.
Currently, like, this year, he has 23 points in 56 games, 11 goals.
That's not, I mean, I guess for, I mean, 6.1.
Yeah, it is, however, much better than his previous two seasons, which does show you how bad he was stalling out in Montreal. His best season before this one was his rookie season.
Right, okay. But like Carolina's much better.
At developing prospects, yeah. There's but no
also,
question.
But also...
in general.
Like playing, like they're a better team.
Yeah.
So you're going to get more points.
Yeah. But he's been playing in a depth role, and he's been playing on the wing. And this contract suggests that they see him as a top, like a middle six center at some point. Mm-hmm. So he's 21. This will run him through till he's 29. I guess what they're hoping for is by the time he's 26, getting him for under $5 million looks like a bargain. Whereas right now, having him for almost just under $5 million or $6 million this year is the opposite of a bargain. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't. Carolina is kind of smart.
Well, I think we all gave him the shit for the Nedeljkovic trade, but he's, you know, batting pucks into his own net now. So they're kind of like geniuses.
And we gave him shit for the Dougie Hamilton thing, which I do actually think they screwed up still, but who, you know, I mean, it's not like New Jersey's that good.
Okay, because, and I know this is an odd thought, but so the trade for Dougie Hamilton, didn't they get Adam Fox back?
Dougie Hamilton?
Was that not the trade?
No. They let him go as a free agent.
No, I'm sorry. But the traded...
The Dougie Hamilton trade, yeah.
Calgary.
Yes, because Adam Fox refused to sign in Carolina.
In Carolina.
So they traded him to Calgary, where Adam Fox then refused to sign. And then he signed with New York, and now he's Adam Fox.
So, but the trade from Calgary to Carolina, I mean, you gave up Elias Lindholm, who now is
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And Noah Hanifin, who, I mean,
is good.
He's no slouch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's.
So I get what you're saying, but Carolina has made some
100%. Boom-boos. And I think this is probably one of them. But we will see. I've never been especially impressed with Kotkaniemi at any point.
No, me neither.
And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it's just because I don't see him in practice every day, and they do, and whatever. But like from what I've seen, I've never watched him and been like, oh, that guy could be really good. There are guys in the NHL who I watch and think, oh, that guy could be really good if he got in the right situation. Kevin Fiala was always my guy where I was like, just one team, put Kevin Fiala on your first line and on the power play, and he'll score a bunch of goals. And I was like, oh, maybe I was wrong. And then Minnesota did it, and he scored 30 goals or whatever.
Yeah.
This one, like, I don't get it.
And, like, I know he was scratched in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand it, but whatever. Apparently they believe in him, so there you go.
Well.
Now... Before, we'll talk about all these other teams when we go through all the teams. I'm just getting through the news here quick. The Ducks are probably going to trade Hampus Lindholm because they haven't been able to get a contract extension worked out for them.
And
they
John
said
Gibson.
That they're going to try to sign him. They haven't been able to. The rumor is they haven't been able to, and they're probably going to trade him. The rumor is also that they probably are going to sign Rickard Rakell.
Well, the fact that they traded Josh Manson does show that Anaheim is a little, like, because they're in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But I guess they are a little bit like, we'll sell.
I think they know that, like, even though they're in the playoff spot, that their time is 2 years from now or 3 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
When Zegras is older, when Troy Terry is older, and when Mason McTavish is older. I think that's when. Who I saw in person on the weekend and who is fucking incredible. But. So it looks like Rakell might be staying. Lindholm might be going. I also had in here Josh Manson is probably going to be traded, and
You would, here's the thing. How about that? If we had recorded this earlier, you would have looked like a genius.
It's what a shame. Although I can't remember what, because I took out some of my Josh Manson notes here, and I can't remember what team I had him down as this team is going to get Josh Manson, but it wasn't Colorado, so I am happy that they did the trade before the podcast.
Okay.
Apparently, the Flames want Ben Sherratt, and apparently tried to get him as part of the Tyler Toffoli trade, but couldn't get it done. And so people are saying, watch the Flames try to go get Ben Sherratt again. We'll talk about Calgary more in depth. Apparently, Washington wants Arturi Lehkonen from Montreal. The rumor is Hurdle will not be traded and he will be extended in San Jose, which is boring because Hurdle's awesome and I want to see him on a good team. But
yeah, whatever. It'd be fun to see him move.
Yeah. He reportedly has a 29 team no trade clause. So they have a list of three teams that he will accept trades to. So it's not going to be very easy to trade him.
It's not happening.
I've never even heard of that before. A lot of teams, there's apparently a lot of interest in Justin Braun from Philadelphia, who is 35 and makes $1.8 million and is an expiring UFA.
I heard the Leafs were in on him.
A lot of teams, apparently. The Flyers want a second. Apparently, no one has offered more than a third. A third for Justin Braun is a pretty good trade. A second for Justin Braun, I'd be like, oh.
But I guess if he's in high demand.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
You push your luck.
What else have we got here? Marc-Andre Fleury will reportedly only leave Chicago for a cup chance situation.
Which is what we talked about before.
Yeah. Apparently Washington are interested, which could you imagine Marc-Andre Fleury playing for the Capitals against the Penguins in the playoffs?
I don't think he'll do it.
I want that so bad now. And the Capitals beat him in the Stanley Cup final when he was on Vegas.
Oh.
And he played against them like 100 times for Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
I don't see it happening.
Could you imagine? I know, but wouldn't that be crazy?
No. The storyline would be insane, but I don't see him trading.
I don't either, but like, I hope it happens. It's kind of like how I really wanted Henrik Lundqvist to play for the Washington Capitals because I thought it would be hilarious. And then unfortunately, the thought of playing for Washington broke his heart.
Gave him a heart attack.
Yeah. All right. Let's go through all the teams and talk about what's happening before the deadline. Got some notes here and we can talk about how we feel and whatever. We'll start with the Atlantic Division, the Boston Bruins. Apparently, even though he's having a really good season, Jake DeBrusk's trade request stands. So like he has to be traded a few months ago. I think we talked about it on the podcast. Right. I don't actually remember.
Yeah, but if you're Boston, do you just try to get him to suck it up?
I think so, probably, because he's playing really well. But basically what he said is he wanted to move up the lineup and he wanted more ice time and he wanted to be traded. And they moved him up the lineup and he started playing amazingly well. But so some people thought maybe he doesn't want to be traded anymore. His agent says he does still want to be traded. So
he's pulling a Mikheyev.
Well, maybe he was, but then he, unlike Mikheyev, he got what he wanted and he still wants it. So who knows? But as for what they could get back, I mean, they need a center. They never really replaced David Krejci. So
no.
If you could trade Jake DeBrusk for a center somehow, that would be good for them.
Maybe for like a Kerfoot?
I would do that.
I would too.
I'm not sure Boston and the Leafs would trade with each other, but that would actually help both teams, which is funny.
Right.
Like, I don't think they would do it, but I think it would actually help everybody. I think everybody wins in that trade. We'll get to who I think the Leafs are going to trade for left wing, and you're going to be disappointed.
Ah, damn it.
The Buffalo Sabres. So I looked at this team because I assumed they were going to be sellers. And the conclusion that I came to was they don't really have anybody that they can sell.
I don't think Craig Anderson is
Craig the only Anderson, one. Yes. And Vinny Hinestroza.
Sure. Okay.
And that's it. Because I was looking at their team and I was like, all of these guys you probably either want to keep or they suck and no one would want them.
Like Tage Thompson, Peyton Krebsky.
They're going to keep them. Right. And no one wants Jeff Skinner or Kyle Okposo or.
No, no.
Yeah. So, you know, Greg Anderson, Hinostroza, whatever. But their Buffalo's probably going to do nothing or almost nothing.
Well, but like, I think their big trade was Eichel.
I think that was their big trade. Yeah, I think they're done. And I think they have a young team. They got some prospects still coming.
They got some they got some picks.
Trading Craig Anderson would make sense too, because they have that really good Finnish guy coming up, that really good Finnish goalie. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen or whatever.
Fun. That's a fun name.
It's a lot of vowels or K's and vowels.
I guess, yes.
But he's, yeah, it's a very Finnish name. But he's supposed to be really good. So okay. I don't know, maybe move the old goalie out, bring the young goalie in, get a pick.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think they're gonna do much.
Yeah.
The Detroit Red Wings. Now, this is where I wanted to point out that I forgot to mention this on the podcast last week, but isn't it crazy that Jakub Vrána and Anthony Mantha both returned from shoulder surgery on the exact same day and then both scored?
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Because we were really into that trade when it happened.
But. I'm still really into that trade. It's just they just haven't played much since they made it because they both had shoulder surgery.
And they both came back on the same day.
The same night. They both came back and they both scored. Not against each other either, which makes it even weirder. They were playing like totally separate teams.
They're shoulder buddies.
Like just crazy. What an interesting trade. But I know it's not super related. It's more of last trade deadlines news.
But that's related in the sense where like they're related by shoulders.
And also it just happened. So, you know, there you go. I'm not sure what Detroit's going to do either. I don't think they're going to do an awful lot. But also we didn't think they were going to do much last year. And then they traded Anthony Mantha for Jakub Vrána. So, you know.
Which, I mean, because we like Vrána, so.
Yeah. I think it was a good trade.
It was a good trade, but I mean, if you're Detroit, I think you just hang on to everybody.
Yeah, maybe get rid of I was looking at their team and I was like, they should trade Nick Leddy. And then I was like, wait, they just traded for Nick Leddy.
It's all same thing. Like,
yeah. There's the guys that they should get rid of are guys that they apparently want for some reason. So, you know.
Like you're not getting rid of Larkin. You're keeping, you got the rookies.
I think the thing with them is, like, there's no way they're going to make the playoffs, so there's no need for them to buy. But also, they're not that bad, so there's no need to.
But there's also nobody you really want to sell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just get through the year. Finish out the year.
Get through the year, yeah.
And they're probably ahead of where they thought they'd be right now.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Mo Sider, Rookie of the Year. Mo Sider, Rookie of the Year.
Bunting.
Florida Panthers. We all know they're going to buy for sure.
Sure.
But who? It's got to be a defenseman, right? Because I was looking at their lineup and their forward team. Their forwards are pretty stacked compared to their defense.
Right.
Their defense is, it just seems like it's missing something. Like Ekblad, Montour, Uyghur, Forsling, Gudis, Lindbaum. Like, it's pretty good, but you're kind of missing, like, one really good defenseman.
Right, yeah.
So, I'm assuming they're going to get a defenseman who is either really good or who people think is really good.
Yeah.
Mark Giordano.
Well, but that's... He's going to be a Leaf. So
Hampus Lindholm.
Also a Leaf.
They can't all be Leafs. Ben Sherratt.
Yes.
And also, I had to put this in here, but Chychrun, because Chychrun's dad used to play for the Florida Panthers, I think. And I believe he's the color commentator for the Florida Panthers broadcast.
Okay.
So there's some very clearly some connections there. They happen to need a defenseman. maybe that's the team who, you know,
and they, run they know they're going to make the playoffs. So why not get someone for the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he plays for them, but I think he is. He didn't play for them, but he is the he is the commentator for the Florida Panthers.
That's so funny. Okay, all right. Well,
so I don't know. Just throwing that out there. If someone's going to trade for him, and he'll be ready for the playoffs.
I would love nothing more than to work for the same place that my dad does.
And it's also not necessary for the Panthers to have him for the next month.
No.
But like they're already in the playoffs, so they can afford to get him and just have him play in the playoffs and the next 2 years.
They'll be fine.
So, I don't know. Might be something.
Yeah.
The Ottawa Senators, I put might sell Forsberg. Don't really have much else to do, really.
No.
They're mostly just young. They're just a young team.
Just hang on to everybody.
Just keep the young guys.
Similar to Detroit.
Yeah.
And even Buffalo a little bit. You're like, just keep everybody. Maybe trade a goalie or two.
Yeah. Anton Forsberg, Craig Anderson. Like, you know, a goalie, get a third.
Matt Murray, if you can.
If someone will take him. Trade a goalie, get a third. You know, it's a third he didn't have before.
No, I agree.
All right, Montreal. They're going to trade Ben Sherratt. I'm not sure if they're going to get what all these people keep saying. Ben Sherratt's going to get you a first-round pick and whatever. I still think that's insane, but they are definitely going to trade him because they've been talking about him in the media for so long that like it literally just has to – they wouldn't have done it this much unless they knew that Montreal was going to trade him.
And if they don't, something like happened where they really didn't get anything they wanted.
Exactly. I think they would really like to trade Mike Hoffman.
Mm.
Not sure if that's realistic, but I think they would like to do that.
Yeah.
They might trade Jeff Petrie. They might trade Brandon Gallagher.
Really?
I mean, you got to think they're rebuilding. Brandon Gallagher is over 30. He's a guy who probably isn't going to age super well due to the way that he plays. He makes a lot of money. I don't know. Yeah. Those two guys might be up there.
Gallagher would be weird to see on another team.
It would, but I think we probably are going to. It might not be this year, though, because he has a lot of money left on that deal.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. If I were them, I would try to trade Josh Anderson before it gets any worse. But that's just me.
Nobody's taking that on.
Yeah. Tampa. I put probably going to add because they always add, but I'm not sure what they would add. They're kind of just a perfect finished team with no salary cap room.
What was it? Last year they added Savard.
Yeah. They add every year. They're going to add. I don't know what they're going to add.
I don't even know where. Like,
neither do I. I have no idea. That's what I'm saying. Like, I look at their lineup and I think, okay, there's nothing to add. There's like nowhere to add.
If they were the ones that picked up Manson instead of Colorado.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what they do.
No, but that, I would have been like, that makes sense. I would have been like, they're insane. That just makes sense. But like Colorado adding them, I'm like, oh wow, like Colorado's really going for it.
That's a real Tampa Bay move.
Good for them.
That's a real Tampa Bay Lightning move. Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do, but they are probably going to add. I think we can say that pretty safely.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's what's going to happen. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they need a defenseman. They could kind of use a goalie. And I wouldn't mind a left wing. Now, I think they're going to do two of those things. I think they're definitely going to get a defenseman because Kyle Dubas basically said they were. I don't think they're going to get a goalie. And if they do get a goalie, it's going to be like Craig Anderson. It's going to be like a cheap goalie. The left wing thing, I think they are going to do that. I don't think they're going to do it in the way that people think they might do it.
Okay, so who's the name? Give me the
name. It's not going to be JT Miller. It's not going to be like one of those guys. It's going to be Alex Galchenyuk.
No.
It is. I'll tell you why. Because, one, it kind of worked. Two, he would cost nothing. like literally nothing. And three, he's no risk, because if it doesn't work, you just bench him.
Right, but if you go with that trade, why not just go for Kessel?
Well, you could do that, but Kessel costs way more money.
Get them to retain.
I mean, he still costs way more money.
You're already paying him.
That does not help. That still counts as money you have to pay Phil Kessel.
I know, but that's happening anyway, like, regardless.
No, Kessel, it's just too much. Okay. They don't have the space for him. But they can afford Alex Galchenyuk. Or the other guy I looked at a lot and still kind of looked at is Cali Yarncroc from Seattle.
Ooh,
who is cool. More of a center, but who is a very good player, who is not super expensive, and whose agent used to be Kyle Dubas. So
it's that nepotism I talked about last week.
I think it could be Cali Yarncroc. I think it could be Alex Galchenyuk. I think they are going to get a forward, just not like JT Miller, not like one of the big forwards, right? Something more like Yarncroc, Galchenyuk, something around that range. And then for defensemen, I don't know. They might go huge. They might go small. I don't really know. I'd be pretty cool if they went for Jacob Chychrun. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, but I think they need help to get them close, like not into the playoffs, but in a better spot for the playoffs.
I think so, but I also think that the fact that he has 2 years left is why they might do
it. That's a good point.
I don't think they would do it for a rental, but I think Chychrun with two years left, do you think
he's injured, you can get the price down?
Maybe. I don't know, though. Depends who else is bidding.
Well, that's big. That's big. Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't know. I would keep an eye on that because he's the kind of player that Kyle Dubas likes. So yeah. Might happen. I would definitely keep an eye on Cali Yarncroc. I'm just saying. And Alex Galchenyuk is my sleeper pick.
That would be so weird. I think a lot of people might do it. Yeah.
Because you can press box him. So, like, why not, right?
No, that's fair.
Okay. The Metro Division. Carolina, I put should add, but they're capped out and have no picks, so probably won't.
Yeah, and I mean they're pretty solid all the way through.
And any trade they make would have to be like a player for a player. They have absolutely no cap space, and they don't have their first round pick or their third round pick.
Yeah.
So, you know. They basically, I mean, this is probably just their team, which I'm sure they're fine with. It's a pretty good team. But, you know, I think they would like to add so that they can take it up to Tampa, take it up to Colorado, right? Like, where they are is good, but it's not those guys.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think they can do that. Columbus, I think they would like to trade Max Domi, and they won't be able to because it costs too much money.
It's like 5.3. Like, he's a lot.
Yeah, you would have to retain, right?
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
I think they would like to trade Yunus Korpisalo, but he's injured. So, probably not doing that either. I think they might trade Dean Kukin, who is an okay player. And he's like a decent depth defenseman, and teams need depth defensemen in the playoffs.
Yeah, okay.
He might be a good Ilya Labushkin for somebody.
Ah, the Boosh.
And now I'm assuming they keep Patrick Laine, but, like, you know, I just don't know what's happening with Patrick Laine ever. I'm always confused, so I felt like I should write it down.
He's on fire, so if you do trade him, I think you'll get a decent amount.
I think so too, but this is also the last year of his contract, so, like, is he going to go back to Columbus? Maybe. He seems to be having fun now.
Well, he's an RFA, right?
He's wearing his, like, stupid suits and scoring goals.
He's got stupid suits. He's
not getting yelled at by John Tortorella.
No, we play Fortnite on weekends.
So, I don't know. Probably nothing, right? But who knows? New Jersey, I put they could sell, but there's not really anything to sell. It's like Ottawa. They would probably want somebody to take PK, but no one will. They could trade Thomas Tatar, maybe, but I don't know who would want him.
Yeah.
They could trade Andreas Janssen, but I don't know who would want him. It's been pretty bad. So I don't know. I will say, and this will come up again when we get to Pittsburgh, but Kyle Dubas getting out early on the Andreas Johnsson and Kasperi Kapanen contracts was actually really smart. Both those guys have been not good.
Yeah, and I mean, you could say that maybe the role they're put in isn't helping them, but...
Well, maybe for Johnsson. I don't think you could say that for Kapanen.
No, I agree.
They let him play with Crosby, and then they let him play with Malkin, and then they let him play with Jeff Carter. It's just like, if you can't make it work with any of those guys, I don't know what you're doing.
No, I think you nailed it there. I think he got out at the perfect time.
Yeah. Johnsson, I mean, who knows, right? New Jersey can't be easy, but... You know, you get to play with Shaq Hughes now, and
Shaq Hughes.
Okay, the Islanders. Sell, I guess? I don't even know. It's Lou. Who knows?
Well, Lou's a psycho.
I mean, maybe they'll trade Chara. Someone could take a playoff. Chara would be good for a playoff run, right?
The problem with the Islanders is they probably think they'll still be good.
Yeah, that's why I was so confused. And also, like, a lot of the guys who they would trade, who like are their like old additions, no one would want except the Islanders. Like, no one else wants Cal Clutterbuck.
Zach Parise, no.
Zach Parise, like, who wants Zach Parise? No one wants Andy Green.
Well,
so I don't
Chara.
Know.
Chara.
Maybe Chara. Do Chara, right? If he agrees to be traded, might not even want to. He's old. You might be like, I'm not doing that.
Well, but if you're him, you're like, I mean, I'm surprised he's still playing. Like, I worry he's going to turn into Tom Brady and, like, retire. And then, like, you know what? I can't not play. I'm going to come back.
My house is like boring.
Yeah, God damn it, dude.
Okay, the Rangers. They're probably going to buy probably a defenseman, right?
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. Like, their team, they need a defenseman. They are the Rangers, which means they have all the money and power in the world, and they're in New York. They kind of just go nuts all the time. Like, I don't know. It would make sense.
Well, they've got the best goaltender in the world.
Yes. So that was my other thing I want to say. Like, maybe they're going to trade away Georgiev finally.
But you need the backup.
Yeah, but you can get a less good backup and a defenseman, maybe. Because, so like, why do you have him? Like, what?
So, what, Georgiev for Mrazek, and we give them...
Oh, I would
Dermot.
Do that. Yeah. Sure. Done. I don't think they would do it, but done. there's also rumors they're going to go after JT Miller, which wasn't he on the Rangers?
Oh, right.
that was my first thought.
He's on Tampa too, right?
Yeah. And the Rangers.
Because he was part of the McDonough trade.
I'm very sure he was on the Rangers at some point. Yeah. I can't remember what exact trades he was a part of.
Oh man, that's right. I think he's bounced around. Not bounced around, but
no. The Rangers, the Lightning, the
Canucks.
That's it.
Right, but for a player who we think is very good.
Yeah, he's been around a little bit for sure. But all of those trades were kind of good.
No, they all
the team involved. That got JT Miller kind of was the team that won all those trades. Right, so like the fact that he's been traded doesn't mean anything negative about him, I don't think.
No, I agree.
Yeah, drafted by the Rangers, traded with McDonough to Tampa for a bunch of guys and a pick, and then traded to Vancouver for a first, a third, and Marek Mazanik, who I don't remember who that is.
I heard that one.
I'm sure he was somebody at some point.
He's okay. Real.
Philly. We got to move through these quicker. Philly. Giroux, if he waives his no-trade clause, will get traded, and he will help whoever he gets traded to because he's Claude Giroux, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's a good player in the playoffs, too. He's always been a playoff guy. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens with that because he does have a no-trade, but they're terrible, and I'm sure he would like to go try and win a Stanley Cup. So See what happens. Justin Braun, we talked about earlier. Keith Yandel, maybe, but I don't know if anyone wants Keith Yandel.
I don't know. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. Okay. Pittsburgh. They want a wing. They want a winger. This is where I was going to bring up Kapanen and how bad he's been. They want a winger. So I'm not sure who they go after, but apparently, you know, maybe Hagel from Chicago. I don't know.
Yeah. I heard the Leafs were in on him. So
yeah. I've heard like everybody's in on that guy, which is weird because, you know, I've only seen him play a couple times and he looked like he was good, but it is odd.
Right. But if you're Chicago, you're trying to boast everybody and be like, oh, yeah, he's good, and try to sell him.
Yep. We'll see what happens. Washington, goalie. You need a goalie. Both their goalies have been pretty bad. So,
you know who would help? Craig Anderson.
I was going to say Braden Holtby.
Henrik Lundqvist.
Just going full retread. I was going to say try and get Holtby back from Dallas.
That's...
Why not?
No, I agree. He's up for sale, I think.
Yeah. Or get Marc-Andre Fleury, because that would be the funniest thing that could happen.
No way he's doing that.
I would love that. Okay. Arizona. We have, of course, Jacob Chychrun. We have, Jacob Chychrun in the, like, they're trying to get a big deal trade. And then I put, if they will take them, they will probably trade any of Phil Kessel, Travis Boyd, Lawson Krause, Anton Strahlman, Alex Galchenyuk. Was it Vitek Vejmelka? I don't remember. Christian Fisher, Riley Nash. I think they would trade literally any of those guys for not that much.
Right. Yeah.
Like a pick or whatever. So I think they're going to do some business. I think Arizona is going to make a lot of trades.
Yeah. And they're hot right now a little bit. I mean, yeah, you know, they beat the Leafs, but
they won 4 games in a row.
Right. So they are
not in last.
No, but if you're them, you still try to bolster the, you know, the picks. Future.
Yeah.
The future. Thank you.
I mean, if they can trade Nick Ritchie, they'll even do that.
if he gets traded again, I'm laughing my ass.
Okay. Chicago. We have Marc-Andre Fleury, if he'll allow them to do it. Dylan Strome, Calvin DeHaan. Brandon Hagel is the big name because he's actually been good and teams might want him. And apparently they're trying to trade Dominik Kubalík, which I don't understand why. Yeah, that's what I said. But I mean, I read it on The Athletic. So
That's like another Panarin trade.
That one's just so weird. And like, I guess he hasn't been that good this year, but like he scored 30 goals as a rookie. And that was like 2 years ago.
I remember us talking about him and being hot.
He scored 30 goals. I mean, he's 26, so he's older than you think he is, but that's also not old, and he has already scored 30 goals in the NHL once, so why would you want to trade that guy?
Yeah.
Weird. Colorado, I put bye, thank God, because they did. There's a ton of Giroux rumors.
Well, I mean, if they add a D and a forward.
If they add Claude Giroux? Oh, my God. This team is going to be something. So, let's keep an eye on that, I guess, because they might be done, though. I mean, they made their trade.
Well, I was going to say, if the Josh Manson trade is all they make, then you're like, all right, good. Like,
good trade.
Good trade. You pulled it off, and you've definitely added it before the playoffs. But they keep going.
Oh, yeah. There's
adding.
Especially if it's Claude Giroux or something like that.
Right. Something big, yeah.
Dallas. Apparently they're going to extend Pavelski, so they won't trade him. They're working on a 1-year extension.
I did see that. Yes, yes.
So I have Klingberg as a question mark. Cause it seems to have gotten really quiet. Not a lot of talk about it. Not sure why.
Maybe I do remember him being like, Dallas isn't really giving me what I want. Maybe Dallas is going to give them
maybe extension. Yeah, it's possible. Braden Holtby, I'm assuming they're going to try and trade. Because
yeah,
now Jake Oettinger is their starter, so you might as well trade Holtby. Yeah. And I put Radulov. I'm not sure why he's a free agent at the end of this year. I haven't heard his name said once.
Well, Russia is very taboo right now.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, I don't know. Did something happen that I missed in the news or whatever?
Yes, the Ukraine got invaded.
Is he bad now or something? Like what?
Maybe. I don't know his stats.
So he's 35, but like, I don't know. Oh, he is bad now. Okay, well, that's probably...
Oh, okay, there's our answer.
Yeah, thank God. Glad we solved that problem.
Way to go, Scooby-Doo.
All right, Minnesota. I put should not sell, but I don't think they can actually buy because they're going to have those giant cap penalties for the next, 5 years.
Yes, yes.
Nashville, I put Forsberg or they sign him. Philip Forsberg for a ton of stuff or they sign him to a massive extension. And it has to be one of those two things.
They should trade him.
You think they should trade him?
Well, because they already spot. No, I understand that. And Saros has been killer, but they have Duchesne and they have Johansson locked up.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can't trade those two contracts.
But he's way better than those.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But you're pigeonholed with those two.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Because also you have Saros and Roman Josi locked into big contracts, and those guys are awesome. So.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's tough. I don't know. I think they're going to try and trade him for a shitload. And if they can't get a shitload, then they're going to re-sign it. But we'll see. They got to do one. They can't do nothing.
That's fair. Push their luck. Yeah.
The Blues, I put would buy, but can't. They have no cap space and they probably don't want to mess with their roster too much. And
they do. I mean, we all thought a Tarasenko trade was coming and clearly it's not.
Which is weird, but the Buchnevich trade was awesome.
But that's my point. It was like they've made their trade with Buchnevich and he's killing it. So
yeah,
if you're them, you're like, let's just keep it going.
And Tarasenko's a point per game, so they're probably like, look, it's all good. And I think Tarasenko, unlike DeBrusk, is actually happy now.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is I think there was talks of him needing to be traded, and now it's like, you know what, he's okay with it.
Yeah, so they're good. I put the Jets got to sell. I think they'll sell Kopp. I think they'll sell Stastny, because those guys are free agents at the end of the year. Maybe their defensemen. I mean, they have Nate Schmidt. Brandon Dillon, maybe try and trade one of those two guys.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, are they that far down in the standings?
They're pretty far down in the standings. They're definitely not going to make the playoffs this year. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so then, yeah, if you're them, you move some of those guys.
And I put Pierre-Luc Dubois with a question mark because, like, I don't know, you guys got to figure out what you're doing here.
I feel like you got to keep him if you trade his line.
I mean, I'm not saying you have to trade him, but, like, if you aren't going to trade him, you're eventually going to have to like he's an RFA this summer. You're going to have to pay him.
No, I agree. But I think you make your choice and you go, look, we picked him over Line A and you can't let him walk.
Yeah. But you could trade him for something. Maybe Patrick Line A.
I'll kill myself.
All right. Anaheim, we already talked about. They already traded Manson. They're going to trade whoever they can't sign out of Lindholm and Raquel. That will be both of them, neither of them, or one of them, depending on who agrees to a contract.
Yeah.
Because the GM said publicly, I'm going to try to sign all three of them about Manson, Lindholm, and Raquel.
And
whoever doesn't get signed is out. So we'll see who that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We already know it's Josh Manson, but we'll see who else it is, I guess. Calgary, probably going to go all in, right? Gaudreau and Tkachuk both need contracts in the summer. They already traded for Tyler Toffoli. Like, they're going to get after it.
Yeah.
Definitely going to trade for a defenseman. Possibly Ben Chiarot, we talked about earlier. They already tried to get him. And I just want to throw this out here. Mark Giordano. What if they traded for Mark Giordano?
I'd be shocked.
Wouldn't that be that? But, like, it would be fine, wouldn't it? Nothing wrong with that. Go get your captain back.
No, it would be funny. And, I mean, it would be cool to see them just throw the C back on him.
Yeah. That would. Do they have a captain right now?
No, I don't think they do.
Yeah. So he comes back, give him the C back.
They're like, welcome back. Here it is for the playoff run.
they do not have a captain.
No, because I remember them being like, because, you know, y'all, I'm a big Calgary Flames fan now.
Yeah.
They're like, what are they going to do without a captain? I'm like, shut up, they'll pick one. But they didn't.
They didn't. So bring him back and give him the C back.
Yeah, yeah.
Edmonton, I put LOL. I mean, they need everything. They have nothing to trade. And they need a goalie, 100% need a goalie. They need a defenseman, and they need a couple forwards. And they have nothing to offer. And Ken Holland is their GM. And I just hope they make this team, like, worse. Because it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean... Like, if goaltending isn't your first choice, like, in terms of what you need, then you should probably not try at all.
Yeah, exactly. Los Angeles, I'm probably going to do nothing. I don't think they're going to do anything. Like, they're just like a young team coming up, and just leave it.
Yeah.
I think the only guy they could trade, the only expiring UFA, is Dustin Brown. And, like, can you trade Dustin Brown? Like, he's, like, your captain who won two cups.
He's not their captain.
And but he was your captain who won two cups. Fair. And also, like, he's not very good. So you probably wouldn't get anything back for him. So you might as well just keep him and let him finish off.
His cap hit is high. And
Him finish off his career in LA, right?
Yeah, I agree.
The Sharks, I put they could sell Hurdle, but they probably won't. So fuck them.
No, and other than that, I mean, like they got some young guys. Like, just let them run it out.
Yeah, just come in last. It'll be fine.
But definitely keep Hurdle.
Seattle, I put trade everything that isn't nailed down. Mark Giordano, Cali Yarncroc, Riley Shane, Sarnik, Blackwell, Fleury. Mason Appleton.
It's what I did when I was the GM in NHL 22.
Trade everything.
Picks.
Trade everything. And everybody on the roster. Trade Grubauer if someone will take him. Everything.
Sure. Yeah.
Every single thing you can trade, trade it.
Yeah.
Except for Matty Beniers, obviously.
Yes.
And your first round pick, which
hopefully not in NHL 22. Not in NHL 22.
Vancouver, I put make your decision on Besser, Garland, and JT Miller and trade whoever you aren't keeping. They got to decide.
Well, that and because it's crazy, because that's like a full line.
Yeah, that's a tough decision. Those all three of those guys are very good.
Right?
Yeah.
Now
you can't keep all of them.
So if you have to pick one to lose, forget about what you're going to get. Which one do you want to lose?
But, like, I you got to look at the contract is the thing.
No. I was going to say forget about what you could get back.
Okay. Just straight up, you have to trade one?
Just you have to trade one.
Probably Connor Garland.
Yeah, me too.
But Connor Garland is, they just got him. He's good, and he's locked into his contract. Brock Besser needs a contract this summer. JT Miller needs one next summer. And both numbers are going to be pretty high.
If we go with all the factors, what you might get back and what the contracts might be. And
I would trade JT Miller and try and get a bunch of stuff. Because I think JT Miller is going to ask for like $9 million.
And you don't think Besser's going to ask for $9 million?
I don't think Besser. No, I don't think so.
What?
I think you'd probably get Besser at like 6 or 7. JT Miller, I think it's going to be like 9. And JT Miller is 29 years old. So,
right, but you can also trade him next year.
You can what?
You can trade him next year.
Yeah, you can. But I don't know. They got to make a decision here. Trade Connor Garland. I mean, that's fine too. I'm not worried about it really. Just you can't keep all three of those guys.
No, I agree. But it's wild that like they have a full line basically that you have to.
Really good players. Yeah.
They have really good players where you're like, we could not realistically move all of them, but any of them could go.
And then their defense is complete ass. It makes absolutely no sense. But, I mean, you know, Jim Benning.
Classic Jim Benning move.
Jim Benning. Okay, and the final team here, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, who apparently might miss the playoffs.
No.
I mean, they're getting pretty close.
Well, so, okay, so you saw the Jack Eichel comments in Buffalo.
I did. It was amazing. I loved it.
I loved it, too. But you know what's funny is I saw the comments, and then in my head, because I didn't know the score, I go, they probably lost that game.
They did, in fact, lose that game.
And then I looked it up, and I was like, 3-1. Oh, they did lose. So, I wonder if they had a won.
If he would have done it.
Been such a dick about it.
I don't know. Although he does hate Buffalo, so he very much might have.
Totally fair, but I just thought it was so fun where I was like listening to the way he was talking. I'm like, well, you sound mad. Like, I was like, they probably lost that.
He probably never thought he would lose his return game to Buffalo.
Well, that's the worst part is you're like, oh, I'm coming back. I'm the best player they've ever had. And like, we lose.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to point out that Vegas is currently 1 point ahead of Dallas, and Dallas has 4 games in hand. They really might not make the playoffs.
Fuck.
Yeah. They're tied with Edmonton, and Edmonton has 2 games in hand. Like, they have really, really been terrible since Jack Eichel came back, and they've lost 4 games in a row.
They've fallen off, eh?
So, I mean, in terms of trade deadline stuff, I don't think they're going to do anything. I think they're done. I think they've done all their trading. Like, Jack Eichel was their trade, like you said, with someone else earlier. Like, they've done their trade. But, man, is it going to be something if Vegas misses the playoffs? All right, and so we're done. So you wanted to talk about Tom Brady, and that will be it.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that he was coming back.
So I was not... I don't want to say not surprised.
You saw this coming? Tell me.
Not very surprised. He was very weird about retiring.
Well, he took his time.
It seemed like he wanted to get traded more than retire. And I think he might have retired to try and get traded. And the Tampa Bay coach did an interview this week where he said, we're not trading him. If he's playing in the NFL next year, it's for us. And right. I think he might have been like, oh, it's not going to work. Do I sit the year out or do I come back? And I think he decided to just fuck it. I'll play another year in Tampa. I think he's planning on playing. Like, I think he might play forever. I don't think he has any intention of retiring. And like, I just could not have been not. I just wasn't that shocked because he played really well. All the way up until his last game, still played great.
He didn't seem like he was falling off.
No.
But the debate was, why not end when you can still play? Like I said, I told you I went to the LCBO and the guy was like, oh, he's probably going to get hurt.
But if he was going to do that, if Tom Brady was the kind of guy who would retire before it got bad, he would have retired when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, but maybe he had some false hope that they would pull it through.
Right, but if you want to be that guy and retire on top and you win the Super Bowl and you're 43, you retire on top. The fact that he didn't do that tells me he was like, I'm not done.
No, you're right.
So I think, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm assuming he'll retire if they win the Super Bowl again. But I also don't think they will, which I think is why he didn't want to play for Tampa. I don't think Tampa's going to be that good. So I think he kind of wanted to get traded. I heard a lot of people saying he wanted to go to San Francisco, who does have a really good team, except their quarterbacks. So
Liffy. Well,
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe they will trade him. Maybe he'll get what he wants. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't totally surprised, but it is super weird.
All right. Well, I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere where I really thought that was it.
Yeah. I thought he would do more like showmanship, which is kind of part of why I thought he'd come back.
Right. But so what? Now we're going to get another retirement announcement next year or 2 years from now, and he's going to really pull it off. Or
I think he's going to do a really big one at some point, and we're all going to know.
But then I think there's going to be a lot of people that are like, yeah, you said that last time, dumbass.
Probably. But I think we'll know. I think there'll be I think it'll be the kind of retirement where we'll know.
All right.
He'll like do it on the field or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seemed weird because the game ended and they were like, you're going to play next year? And he was like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then he was like, oh, like he waited like right up until this deadline where if he didn't retire, they would have had to pay him a bunch of money. And he retired right before that because the team was probably like, you have to retire by this day because we don't want to pay you $10 million or whatever if you're not going to play. And so that seemed like it was kind of forced. And then now he's back. So
all right. Yeah.
We'll see. I think when he does it for real, I think we'll be like, oh, that was the real one.
We'll know.
Yeah. All right. So you want to sing us out for this week, buddy?
Sure thing, my man. It's up to the Miners podcast. Brady's back.